Yes. So we have a little exception of the program I gave you in autumn, because the last time should be Melkein Perillä, almost there. And we've done almost everything from this part last time, because we had the reviewing process in a comprehensive way. But Jerker, if you want, did I send you the fourth session? Did I send you the link and password? No. Please send me an email, ask that, and I will send you. I have all the sessions registered, only the, was it the second one was missing? Yes. All the others are there. So I can give you the password and link, and I can give you the slides also in PDF forms. But the slides are also there beside. Do you hear my voice well? Yes? Okay. So, let's go today through the whole picture. From the very beginning, we started in autumn to the end. And I've summarized the most important things from the slides here, and I think that we could do it quite interactively, so that please, at this time, interrupt me. Ask what you didn't understand at that time, or you don't understand now, or you want to know more, or you want to discuss with the others, and we can go step by step through this path. Welcome. So I try to do it very interactively, but one thing I'm going to add to the program, because I thought that I asked you to take the devices with you, because I had some problems to print an article, but here it was possible. Not in my room, perhaps I used a different browser. It was Google Chrome, and it didn't accept to print an article. But we are looking at how to do a literature review article. And for that, there are many sources you can find in the internet, many places where is advices how to do a literature review. But this particular article, I think, is an excellent one. It's the best one I found, and I've used it, and it's in a way in line with the things I've told here. And you can take it, I have it here on the computer. I took because I have one copy for myself, and I copied the copy, but there are some remarks of mine, I apologize you, but I took four or five copies so that you can look at also the printed version if you don't have a device, and perhaps in pairs or in three persons, but you can find it very easily from the internet if you have a device, and we are looking at that, and in the end, I ask you a little evaluation of the course. I have a ready-made paper. I distributed it. There are only three things I want to know. And there are three lines. And this evaluation is the most useful issues for me, for you, in the course. What was the most important for you? What you got out of this course? And then the course could be improved. What was that you could suggest me to modify, improve, if I'm going to take this course once again somewhere in the future, and something else of importance. And I ask you to fill the evaluation sheet for myself, so that I can see how, because I haven't done this kind of course beforehand. Of course, I've thought how to do an article, but to make it in a comprehensive way, this was the first time to try to summarize everything. Is this okay? The schedule? So, I name it article part. Somewhere up is the secret of review publishing 5. And one thing I think that we had to start is this, because again and again, when I read the papers of my doctoral students, master students, as a reviewer, I look at papers from anywhere from the world, I see that they are very often having a mess or difficulties here. And it's the central concepts. So that before you do anything with your paper, you should know what is your central concepts. What is the concept of the phenomenon, the big one. Then there are related subconcepts. And then you have a different kind of other concepts that are perhaps not so important. And then it's very good to make a mind map or drawing or a box game so that all the time you have your paper there, you have perhaps on your wall a drawing or picture where you have your concepts. Who have done this kind of thing? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. What do you think about? Could it be useful? So that you all the time you see what is the focus of your article, and you are not going astray somewhere else and starting to do research about something you were not in the beginning. And this is, and you see now the lines, and the lines from the central concepts go everywhere, but we are going now to the first section, and it was introduction. I take it nearer. So, we started with introduction in autumn, and with the questions, so what? Who cares? It's a little bit impolite, in a way, but they are questions you should pose yourself. If you have a phenomenon you want to know more about and you are interested in, anyway you should ask, so what? Or who cares to know about this issue more? Is there something, please interrupt me if you want to ask something or add or comment. I'm very pleased if you do that. And introduction is first introducing the topic. And it was a couple of days ago I read a paper, and there was a lot of stuff in introduction, but I couldn't find the topic there. The person were explaining the background, how it's difficult to do this and this there and there, but I couldn't find the topic. What is the topic? And if you have the conceptual framework, the map, mind map, or box game, different boxes linked to each other, or some other kind of drawings, then you know your topic. And in introduction, you crystallize the viewpoint to the phenomenon chosen. What is the point of view? You have the topic here, but there are many different kind of approaches to look at your topic. Is it from there? Or is it from here, or is it from here, and you define it. How you are going to look at your topic. And then in introduction, you focus on essential. You are not telling everything. You are taking the topic and you crystallize your viewpoint, how you are going to study your phenomenon and this particular topic. And introduction is mean to engage the reader so that the reader is going on. It's very, sometimes I know that I have to do that, but if I get an article, for example, as a reviewer, and I've read the introduction, I think that, do I want to read this until the end? It's quite hard to force oneself because I have to do that. But then I go quite quickly through. But if the introduction is very interesting, then I thought, okay, what is coming there? And I myself become motivated to read. And then you problematize the literature, but not everything here. Only the main sources. Only the main viewpoints they've done, the other scholars have done of your topic, and you problematize it. It means that. You start, for example, scholars have found, research already knows, we already have knowledge about. And then you say very briefly with a couple of sentences, what is your, what are the main viewpoints? And then you must say that, but however, or anyway, but we don't know about this topic, this and this. And now I'm going to do that. Very briefly this. Where you are, in which kind of conversation, and then you say that we don't know. This is very important. We should know about this issue more, and it's my duty to do that. And then we, do you remember we spoke about the hook, setting the hook? For example, there were the quotes or little citation or an argument that was not too hard, but something you are arguing a little bit so that you say that no, we have to think about this. It's very personal. And introduction means that you should show what is new and important here. And where is the research gap? And what we already know and we don't know? And if you are very clever, you can put puzzles, paradoxes, controversies, unaddressed issues. Don't speak about gap if you can avoid it. You have a gap. Of course you have a gap. But don't use the word. Use this word that there are puzzles in this. Many scholars see this topic from the different viewpoints, the controversies. Use this kind of, or this topic is unaddressed from this point of view. Use this kind of words. And think about what the study offers to the readers. What is your input? And how the study changes. This is normally in the end of introduction. Now, you are going to say what you are offering for your readers and how your study changes, challenges, or advances the other's understanding. This is normally in the end of introduction. Is there now something you want to ask, add, argue? Go on. Is there something I've perhaps forgotten? Please. Not in introduction, not in it. No, introduction is normally a little bit more than one page. A good introduction is normally 1.5, not more. Or one page is perhaps too little. So no subtitles in introduction. It's one entity, it's like a door you are opening for the readers, please come in, I'm going to offer you this and this and this, and it's related to this and this, and I'm going to answer to this and this. It's like a door for your article. Okay? No subtitles in introduction. Later, in the literature review you are going to have. Oh, something else? So, when you have done the introduction ready, I want to go... Why it's not going there? Now it's going there, to the theoretical background. You are there. Do you remember we spoke about the story? It was telling a story and also, of course, answering your research questions. But you should think about that there is a story you are going to tell and you are not overemphasizing the story, that it's not naive, but not too dry either, so that it's interesting. And there in the theoretical background, you identify the existing conversation on the field that has been discussed amongst the scholars, or in a particular journal, or amongst several study fields. It can be also. And you build a constructive dialogue. It means that you have to, at the same time, you have two things to do. There is the existing conversation. The other scholars have said something about the topic, or they have seen a different. They have seen it from a different viewpoint. And then there is your, and you take them at the same time forward, so that you say that these guys have said, or we already know that the topic is like that, but done, and you put them together all the time. What has been done and what you are doing. So that you are building a dialogue. There's a dialogue between you and the existing research. Okay? And this means that you have to very carefully develop your own ideas together with the existing literature, so that you can't claim that everybody else have done something wrong and I'm the only one who knows. No, and you can't be too timid that I don't know everything and perhaps it's like this. Not that, but something in the middle. A little brave, but not too much. And then you make there, in your theoretical background, a clear argument should be based. Taking these two roads together, you end up with the argument with which you are going to study. You have the empirical data or quantitative data. And it's based on an explanatory logic. It means that you have built, you have explained, and it's logical how you go to your argument. And also, this is the most critical element in an effective theory section. If you are not able to build an argument from the existing conversation and from your own ideas and understanding, then you don't get an argument. And it's a consensus. It's taking care, it pays attention what has been done and it includes. But be very careful if you say something that the reader understands, what is your opinion and what you've quoted and what is a reference from the existing one, so that they don't mix them. And you know how to put the references after a name. You can say that they argue, they say, and then you can put in the end of several sentences the parentheses and the dot is there inside, so that it means that there are several sentences beforehand that are quoted. Do you remember human face motion and pacing? What was the human face? Do you remember who was in that lecture? What did it mean? Do you remember? Please. Yes. Yes. There is somewhere a human being or several human beings for whom this study is important and it concerns, so that you make it a living thing. It's not a dead thing. There's something that is living. Motion and pacing, do you remember them? It means that if you write a story, you can't hurry so that every sentence is so full of information and knowledge and the reader thinks, oh no, I can't understand, this is too much. And also it can't be so slow that it's the reader is pausing that when this guy finally gets into the matter. So you have motion, you go on, and then when there is an important place, you have a pause. You don't go further until you are sure that you've said the thing so clearly that everybody understands, and you can repeat it, but in different words, in a different way, and only when the thing is so important that you should guarantee that it's now clear. Have you found, this was with Anneli we discussed, very often, you said that very often there are in articles in other words, for example, it's this pausing, so that they explain that what is there then, and give time for the readers to reflect upon important issues. Now we've went through the theoretical background. Is there something to add? Please ask now. You have now a possibility to ask or comment or argue or anything. This is totally clear. Until we are on the computer and writing the theoretical part, it's the same thing. It's very easy to be here and say that do this and do that. And then when I'm on the computer, it's a different thing. Tuija. It's not a problem. If you have found the basic conversation, so that these are rigor journals and you see that this guy has quoted hundreds times or thousands times, so you can be quite sure that it's a good source. And then you can have some other references from the same guy, and then you see on the list something that is, and then you have it there, and when you have a solid ground, I think the readers are satisfied. They don't, and if the reviewers want something more, they ask you. It's not a place where they reject your article or not. Very often they can say that, have you read, for example, for me, they have said to me that, have you read this, could you please add this scholar to your theoretical background, perhaps it's themselves, I don't know. But very often there are suggestions, but it's not a reason for rejections. If you have a solid ground so that you really know something about your topic, and you know, Tuija, I know that you know. So, Meng. What do you mean in which kind of place, for example? Can you give an example?
Yes, when you are, for example, introducing other research findings and you say, I tend to agree with this line of thinking, for example, or I tend to agree with this line of thinking, or I challenge
something else. Yeah, you can. If you have a good argument, you can. But
I instead of the author of the
No, no, no. I would say I. Yeah. Or I, if it seems a little bit strange, I could say that we can, or an argument can be also put on this, so that in a passive form. But you can say I. If you are, for example, you've done studies yourself about this issue and you have evidence, then you can say that. Also, you can make an educated guess sometimes. But there should be some reasons, some rational for that. But if you have a very good argument and it's logical and everybody sees that, okay, of course we can also think in this way. It's totally okay. It depends how you put that. Something else? Okay, then the title. I go back to title. That's why at this moment, you must be totally... This, nothing, it's only that it's... Yeah. So the title you had somewhere in the beginning, and at least at this moment, you are going to look at your title. So that is your title according your interaction and your theoretical part. And you can modify it here. If you think that, okay, I have a slightly different point of view or viewpoint or lens to look at the issue. And at the same time, you look at your research questions. so that your title and your research questions are in a logical connection with each other. It depends now, they've asked me where to put the research questions. It depends on the journal. There are journals that want to have the research questions in introduction. And there are journals that normally use the style that they have they have the research questions in the theoretical part and quite in the end of the theoretical part. Please look at the journal, please look at the articles that they've published and imitate the way they do. It depends. I've seen both in introduction and in theoretical part. But if there is, but in a way the research task or aim should be clear already in introduction, but not in a research question form. And they can be modified. For example, I've made articles, I have several two or three research questions. And the reviewer said that we don't understand why you have this second or third research question. You don't answer it. Take it away. And I took it away, it was okay. In the review process, you can still modify your research questions. Because they thought that the research question was, in a way, too much. I couldn't answer my research question in a sufficient way. So we go to the method part. And there is data and analysis. Do you have something to ask or comment to the research questions? I forgot to ask you. Something? No. So, data and analysis, or it can be a research task too. It's not necessary to have, but they like the question form. The question form is quite nice. I like them too, but sometimes I don't have, very often I have the question mark there. I have a real research question. And do you remember these completeness, clarity, and credibility? Do you remember these words? Do you remember? So completeness means that you have done what you've done in a complete way, that there are no open ends or things that are on the halfway. And the first thing you must think about, that you bring to light how, what, and why. How you did everything, what you did it, and this last why is very often forgotten. Why you did, why you have this informants, why you gathered your data exactly in this way. And you must argue your choices. And if you think that there are optional ways to have gathered the data or other informants, then you explain why you didn't do it. Why you didn't gather your data from this? Perhaps you couldn't. There can be very simple reason, but you must explain why. Well, what was the reason? And also be very, very open, so that if you think that somebody should have been added or the data could have been collected in a better way, then you say that, of course, I would be able to do it in this way, but the reason I chose this method was, and you explain it. This why is very important. And you, then in the method section, you discuss also in this way your strengths and potential weaknesses, and you should find at least one weakness. They ask it. If you can show that this was a little bit weak point, it's good, but then you must show that although it was a weakness, I breached the issue in this way, so that not put hands up, I couldn't do it. You must show your weaknesses, but also explain what was your efforts to put down a little bit your weaknesses. And then you explain your specify your methodological elements, sample site, unit of analysis, variables, anything that is there. Of course, informants, place, Very often they ask in educational research, for example, if you say that I had schools, educational organizations, classes, they ask what was the surrounding, was it a rural or urban area, and some details so that it's telling the story. Now they form the picture in front of them. And then the second one was clarity, so that you describe very carefully the measures, what you did. First, I contacted the informants with email, and then I phoned them. Then I said to them that they have a possibility to comment my transcripted data. And then I went there, and every step you did, whatever they were. And also, if you coded, normally you code in qualitative data, you can use NVivo, Atlas or other programs, but anyway you said how you coded it and how you protected your data very often, if it's confidential. And then the third C is credibility, so that it should be so credible that everybody who read your methodological section have an idea that this was done in an excellent way. And you address why the particular individuals, groups are missing, sample, etc., were chosen is a part of the completeness too, and explain why your particular operalization was used, and you justify model specification and data analysis approaches. Everything you've done for analyzed, you justify why you did it. And if there were another way to do it, you explain why you didn't use it. Perhaps you couldn't. Perhaps you found that the data was not suitable for that method. So, questions, comments about the method? Nothing. Everything is clear. Wonderful. I only wait the articles that are coming now afterwards. Yeah, in a way. But if there have been some trouble, then it's not so easy to justify that although I had these weaknesses and the trouble, you can trust my results. Yeah, if it's needed, it's there, of course. It depends on your if you need to have some epistemological view, how you understand the knowledge and your ontological views, and they can be quite several, the reviewers, they can say that for me has happened that this guy you refer to in your theoretical part has a different kind of ontological perspective in his or her studies than this guy you referred. Why you have two different ontological perspectives in the same article? And then I had to convince them why they can be put together. They can be quite difficult questions they pose you anyway. And you haven't taught yourself, because in a way they fit together, but you haven't gone so deep that immediately see that, okay, they come from different kind of groups, different kind of ontological understanding. And I was lecturing, I don't remember anymore where, but they asked me what kind of resources I had used, and I explained the journals and guys and scholars I've quoted, and then some of the in the audience asked me that, why you could do that, because the other one is postmodern and the other one was something else, and I don't know. Because I haven't thought about it. Okay, perhaps this is true. And then I have to invent an answer, but it went well. But anyway, it was not a bad question, But the person there in the audience started to think about why I had this kind of combination. And you perhaps face these questions too when you get your reviews. That was a good question. And something else? Yes, go on. Let's go on. So we go to the results. Not? Then we go to the results. We discussed now the method. Do you have something to add to the methodological part? We are now going there, but we ended with the method. And we discussed that sometimes they can ask also epistemological and ontological questions, the reviewers, and it for me has happened that they've asked why you put these two scholars together, because they have a different kind of point of view. But you don't have anything to add here. Okay. So we go to the results. Of course, this is very clear. You answer your research questions, and at this moment you have your results, you've done your analysis, perhaps you have to repeat some analysis. Then you have your research questions and you have your concepts. Your research questions include your main concepts, and they should fit together so that you are answering to the questions you pose there, nothing else. It's not, of course, if there comes something else out of your analysis and results, then you put that into discussion and conclusion. But here in results only. And you explain what the results indicate with respect to the topic, and all is done in a clear manner. So you are not explaining your results as to some other things. Your topic is there, your research questions, your concepts are there. And there you provide empirical evidence for your arguments or hypotheses. You have an argument. Do you remember in the end of the theoretical part, you end up with an argument or hypothesis? You are arguing something. It doesn't mean that you know beforehand. But you have a theoretical idea in your head, but then here you can't use your results so that you force your results into a certain format so that your ideas comes through. You understand? You can't misuse your results. If your results show that your arguments were not true, they were not what you thought, then you explain it. It's also a very important result. You must be very, very honest. And don't try to put your results so that it's nice and answers to your questions in the way you expect it. Of course, it can be in the way you expect it, but the best findings have been that the results have given a totally different kind of answer that you expected. And it's amazing. And it's very good if you want to have a theoretical contribution. And you demonstrate there in your results why your interpretations of the results are correct. And that's not an easy thing. You have to explain why your interpretations are correct. It's perhaps your method or your understanding about the existing theories or something else, but you must convince the reader that how you interpret your results, your interpretations of your results, why they are correct, why they are right. It's not self-evident. And then this is very often forgotten. Introduce alternative measurements, methods, models. So that here you can say that, of course, I could done a different kind of analysis, but I didn't it because of this reason, and perhaps we could get a more understanding or different kind of point of view, and you make additional analysis if necessary. And here you must be very persistent. If you think that now it's, I've done it, it's ready, but you have there in your back head that perhaps I have to make some analysis, but this is not so convincing. There is something that doesn't fit. Then you make additional analysis. You have to do that in order to convince the readers. Is there something now in the results you want to discuss? Something asked? Something you want to comment, you think that, or ask in your own work? Nothing in the results. Do you think that it's easy to do the results? You said that for you, the methodological part was easier. What about the results? Because I've found certain issues that at least doctoral students who are in a way in the beginning of their scholar career, they often say that which results I should put into an article. Perhaps they have huge amount of results and huge amount of data. Do you think that this could be difficult in some cases? What results I'm going to put here if you have your huge amount and you don't want to try to make your results fitting to your questions. Is it okay what results you are taking? Not a problem. Okay. So we go on. We go to conclusion and discussion. And in conclusion and discussion, you have certain issues you should remember. There you convince your readers of your manuscripts or papers or articles large underlying value. What this means? It means that how your paper fits to the existing conversation, how you fill the gap or explain the puzzles, paradoxes, controversies, and how, when you now look at the big picture of this phenomenon and topic, what has been done, how the picture has changed after your results. You understand this? This is the thing. You don't need to say that this is changing everything. I've now invented something nobody knew. It's not necessary. But how the picture has changed, there is something different now in the big picture after your research. And then you embed your study more fully in the existing literature. Here is a place to add some issues in the literature. You asked Tuija about do you have found everything? And if you have an idea, perhaps this is important, there is a place for that. But also something else, you can now look at the existing studies and research a little bit from a different point of view. And you are putting yourself now there in the picture. I've done this, and I put it there, and now the picture has changed. And you engage like-minded scholars in a rich, robust, theoretical conversation. This is one aim. There are, of course, scholars that, if you are not very lucky, you get as a reviewer somebody who has totally different kind of ontological and epistemological understanding and thinks that your data, your method, your analysis are not something they should use. And it's a pity because it can happen. But then you see that you have normally three reviewers, and one can be totally controversial to the others because his or her point of view is different. And if you are lucky, you get emails from like-minded scholars and they ask you something, or you are going to invite to present your studies in a seminar, or you are not invited, but you are going to a conference, and there are scholars that are coming to listen to you, your presentation, you have there your findings, and you have like-minded scholars there. Normally, the controversial persons don't come there into your session. Those are persons who are really interested in your topic, and then you can find like-minded scholars with this discussion, and perhaps there starts a very good cooperation. It's possible. I've found that. I've been in a conference 6-7 years ago, and I didn't know the lady, and she spoke exactly those ideas I have in my mind, a different kind of topic, a little bit. And then afterwards, I went to her and said, can we talk a little bit more, because this was so interesting. And we went to coffee together. Then there was a third lady joined us, because she also wanted to know. And we started the discussion. Then we went on internet. And after 2 years, we made a common symposium. And after that, now we made a common article. And we've collaborated during 6 years. After that, I went to the lady and said that I want to know more. So don't miss these opportunities. They can be very productive in your future. If you think that this is sounding you, perhaps you can even shape the future direction of this course. This is possible. It's not easy. Normally, it's very... If your journal has a certain kind of discussion, you can't change the direction. But someday, somehow, it can be changed, and this is possible. And Aha, explain. Is now Chet. Why the results are worthy of dissemination. You must now be proud of your results. And you must find good arguments why... It's very important for your journal to disseminate where they can be used, where they can be put, how they can be exploited. And this is worth to be put into words. And do you remember we spoke about practical implementation? It's normal. It's very easy, not very easy, but easy to find. But the theoretical implications are important. If you can show to the journal, the editors, the reviewers, that you have theoretical implications, you can be quite sure that they publish your article. If the ground is solid. And then you also, in conclusion or discussion, sometimes it depends. Conclusion is in a way concluding. There was the ending and the beginning. If you remember, we spoke that you end something and you're beginning a new discussion. Or you can use discussion. Also look at the journal. Sometimes they use both. Sometimes they use conclusion or discussion. There's a little difference. And study limitations. Again here, what was limited your study? And future research. These are the issues that should be in conclusion and discussion. You should explain the underlying value, how your study is now fitting into the existing literature, how the big picture has changed. Then you try... In conclusion and discussion, engage like-minded scholars in a very good conversation. Perhaps you may even shape the future direction of this course. And then you explain why your results are worthy of dissemination. And you do it also in practical implications, theoretical implications. You speak about your study limitations and future research. Something here. Lauri. Yes, I think that it's a little bit repetition. in a way, but it's a brief summary, the things you wrote in the method part. In the method part, you explain it in detail. Here you put it that although we had this kind of methodological difficulties and we couldn't use the method, then we added validity with triangulation, or you have something. This is a brief description there, because you have to do that. It's about the validity and credibility of your study. And in qualitative research, it's the only way to do the validity. Okay, something else? Nothing? Now, let's take now the whole here. You see now the lines. Let's look at the lines before we are going to the article. You have now the beginning are the central concepts. They should be seen in introduction, in the theoretical background, in title, and in research questions. You start with introduction, and I spoke then that if you don't know how to start, start to write a letter for yourself. The first draft can be such that nobody else sees it. Never. You start to write a letter to yourself and convince yourself about your article, but then you modify it, of course. But the first draft can be like a letter. Then you go to the theoretical background and you check again your central concepts. Then you research questions are now there, because research questions can be modified. They are there also in the beginning, but here in this model I put research questions into the theoretical background, but they can be also introduction. Then you go to the method, then results, and you see how theoretical background and results have two arrows. So they discuss with each other. Theoretical background gives your results the frames. And then your results go back to the theoretical background so that it's adding the big picture. You understand the meaning of the arrows. And then you go to your conclusion and discussions, and you should have a line between theoretical background and conclusion also, that you are speaking about those issues but that there is no arrow, but there is a line between, so that now you see that it's a nice entity. What do you think about this picture? Does it help you? I once made another picture. If I can show it to you, I've shown it for Tuija in our doctoral seminar. I can also make a metaphor of air glass. This is an air glass, and it's a good way to explain it. You have here. Well, no, these are quite bad. I hope this is better. You have different kind of theories here. Many kind of theories you have. And then you choose your theories. You take some of them that are going to ask, explaining your topic. And in your theories you have concepts. They are related to these theories, your main concepts. Okay? And then here, with these theories and concepts, you modify your research questions. And I put always research questions here, because they are the place where everything goes through. And now you take only the theories you've chosen and the concepts and go here. And then you have your concepts and theories is coming with you, and here you do your methodological part. There you have the method, you have your data and analysis, and then here comes your results. And everything is fitting together. And then you can put your time class like this, and your results are like sand, and I'll go into the theoretical part. This is in a nutshell a good research. It's like this. It's okay? Does it help you? It's a metaphor to explain the whole. So you can put it. And it functions. And your research questions are here because it's the smallest part, your research, but it's putting everything together. So we have still time. If you don't have anything to ask me here, do you have nothing? Where is my... It's here. Yes. So let's go to the special... I think that we are taking 10 minutes about with this one, not more. And then I give you the evaluation sheets, and when you... written it, you give it back, and then I say thank you. You followed me the whole year. Do you think that it would be better, because this was so seldom, the meetings. I put them because I'm every other week away from Jyväskylä, but if I'm going to repeat this kind of course, do you want that it, if you were, for example, coming to this kind of, that it would be during 1 month every week, or like this. Please put that into the evaluation sheet then. What kind of schedule would be best for you? So, put into your devices literature review and Montuori, and you can put the journal. You very easily find it with Google. This is the journal is here. Journal of Transformative Education it needs, and it's 2005. Is this literature review. And is there somebody who needs... I would like to have these copies back, so please don't put any marks there. But please come to take if you don't have a device and want to look at. And I'm very sorry that there are my remarks. Sorry? Sorry? Is it really... Is there somebody else you can go together? There are other paper copies if you want to have. Do you want to have, Hauda, a paper copy? How are you? What kind of... do you have a flu? Some... Do you want? Yeah, because I took some copies. If you don't have devices, you can look at together if there. But I can give if there's nobody else. Is there somebody else who want to have? I have two paper copies still. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is better because this is the old one.
See you.
So please read when you go to this article, only in this article it is proposed. Please read it first, it's a kind of abstract. You can't do it today, all of it, but I think that it could be good for you to go quickly through the article subtitles first. What are the subtitles? And then they have here the idea. I think that it would be nice if you have time to read the first paragraphs. So the first chapter is community, the introduction first. Then it starts community participation, the construction of knowledge, and going deeper if you have time that you can go on at home. But at least the introduction. It's not more than one page. We don't have so much time that we can go very deep into it. This is quite good. This reproductive approach leads to reviews that are generally as deadly to read as they are to write. It's very nicely written, this. There are others too, but for me, I think this is one of the best, if you want to do that. This is about the conversation and dialogue between you and the scholars of the field and the reader. And it's speaking about how it's a creative process. You can discuss about this article. I didn't say that, but it's meaning that you can go on with somebody else and discuss or read by yourself. Then when you think that you don't have so much time, it's not necessary that we are until the end, because we can stop earlier or be until 3:45. If you, at the moment you want, you can start to write the evaluation also, but you can write the article if you want to concentrate on it. I think I stop now the recording.